Well, you're back from the dead.
I am.
Sadly. Welcome to the Saddest Room Bubble. I'm Scotty Wallace. That's Jen, the NHL history girl.
It's happily only for the cat and people at work.
Yeah. So, that was an experience.
It was.
2 week sickness that you had.
Yeah, it happens to me every so often, though.
Yeah, this one hit you hard, though. Two antibiotics.
Yeah.
But you're back.
Yep.
Somewhat average than ever. Like all of us.
You really know how to pay a girl a compliment.
You know it. That's why I get those. Anyway. This week, we're going to ditch the format because we haven't been around for 3 weeks. Or 2 weeks. And then we're just going to do Halloween stories and then back on it next week because Jen was recovering.
Yes.
So.
Because I've been awake for like 12 hours in 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Just all the sleep. And you're still not caught up.
No.
From your life.
Yeah, no.
So. We will go ahead and talk about some spooky, scary stories. All right. But if you have any spooky or scary stories to share, we probably don't want to hear about it all that much unless it's hockey related. But SDR Strong Bubble on Twitter. You can catch us there. Facebook.com/FYHS Radio. And we also have a Patreon, patreon.com/FaceOffHockeyShow. People like Matthew and Damon and Mark and Trista and Brian and Angela and Sean. And Mitch and Chris and Ethan and Kevin and Jeff, they've all donated. You can too. Patreon.com/FaceOffHockeyShow. All the patron funds go back into paying things for the show, whether it be travel, whether it be equipment, whether it be what have you. So there's that. All right. Spooky, scary stories. Spooky, scary stories. What do you got?
Really, there's only one big ghost story, one common, and it's odd because it's not even that common. Like, most people don't even know about it. Mm. But the Hockey Hall of Fame is haunted, if you believe in that sort of thing.
When was this found out? How did they know?
Well, that
is
building...
Is it actually Turk Broda?
That building was known to be haunted even before the Hall of Fame moved in.
What was that building before? Was that the...
It used to be a bank.
Of course.
It was the Bank of Montreal for like 100 years. And then...
Wait, when did the Hockey Hall of Fame move in?
The early 90s.
Huh. How about that?
Yeah. If you look at it, I mean, it's this pretty grand...
It is a big train terminal of a thing.
Yeah, it almost looks like a church or a...
Yeah, some place of worship.
Yeah, which
or
makes
some
sense.
Kind of
money.
Like, well, yeah, exactly. Almost like. Well, I don't know what. I don't know how you explain the stained glass at a bank, but whatever. Unless that was post hockey Hall of Fame movement, but I mean, it seems like it's just a hoss.
Yeah,
a hoss of a building.
You look at it and you start to wonder, like, why is that building in North America?
Right.
Because it looks,
it's very gothic.
Yes.
Where was the Hall of Fame before that? Was there any freestanding Hall of Fame, or was this...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just in a different building.
Different building. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Anyway, so this bank building was haunted from the unpaid loans of people, or...
from the 50s.
Okay.
Onward. And her family doesn't really like to talk about it, because they don't want her to be this object of... I don't know.
Like
gawking.
Folklore?
Yeah, they don't want her to be made fun of, or they don't want her to be like a circus display, I guess, kind of is the sort
of sideshow.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, she's been dead since 1953. I think they just want to let her be, you know. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, makes sense. I can give you that. So, obviously I'm going to be respectful in, you know, talking about this and everything. But so the story was, for a long, long time, that you would feel the usual ghosty cold spots, and you would see chairs shift in spots where there was no breeze. Like, you know, a bank manager's chair would spin around and there's no reason for it to, blah, blah, blah. People would report a pretty girl in old-fashioned clothing, and apparently old-fashioned meant 50s.
I guess. I mean, it's definitely... Well, when you consider when was the story written, or when were these reports? Was this like the 70s? Because, Let's be honest. Those dress style changes a lot.
Yes. Yes, they did. So to me, old fashioned is like 1910 or 1920. Right. But, you know, 1951.
Nothing that above the shin.
Yeah. So, you know, that works. Apparently, old fashioned clothing, old fashioned hair.
Think Mad Men, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose I'd be right. So nobody really entirely knew who she was, why she was there, except for two things. One, her name was Dorothy. Mm-hmm. And two, that she had killed herself.
Mm.
And with a gun. She had shot herself. Three. She was a bank employee at mm-hmm. some point. They didn't know if she was a bank employee in 1900 or 1925 or...
Whenever, yeah.
Whenever. They just knew that she was a bank employee who shot herself. Her name is Dorothy. Okay. So, if you just type in Hockey Hall of Fame ghost on Google, you get a crap ton of returns, and they're all like walking tours that, you know, go by the building and talk about her. And there's a YouTube video from some, you know, quote ghost hunters. The legend's out there. People know about it, but not maybe necessarily widely known.
They know in passing.
Yeah. Like it's not really widely known in the hockey world or anything. So her name was Dorothea Mae Elliott. She was 19 years old, and she shot herself early morning, March 1953, died 22 hours later at the hospital. Didn't get much attention at the time, mm-hmm. because, you know, it was just a suicide, and, you know, suicides didn't get a lot of attention unless there was something really odd about them. There wasn't really much after her death, except an announcement that she was despondent over a boyfriend.
Mm.
The classic ghost story, like ghost motivation.
Mm-hmm.
So over the years, people start to notice the, you know, hey, somebody touched my shoulder and there's nobody behind me. Hey, there's this weird cold breeze. Hey, I just saw this lady with this, you know, bouffant hairstyle, whatever. You start getting all these weird rumors, like she was stealing money. She was helping. This was one of my favorites. She was helping the IRA, the Irish Republican Army, rob the bank so that they could take the money back to Ireland and fight.
Pretty wild.
Like, that's a pretty wild one, especially in Toronto.
And in the 50s.
You know. And then they had a psychic come in and say, you know, try and do a reading. And the psychic was all, oh, she was murdered because she uncovered an embezzling scheme where the chief of police was involved and the bank manager was involved and the local judges were involved. And, you know, so God, she was murdered.
Mediums are the worst.
They really are. So anyway, the Toronto Star went and talked to some people who actually knew her and said she was very pretty and she was very popular and she was very good at her job and very sophisticated. And they didn't know entirely what happened. Just she came in, she didn't look well, and then she shot herself.
You said she was 19 years old?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And in the 50s, it wasn't common to start going to work at like 15.
Right.
You know.
You actually went through the full school.
Yeah.
At 22, you joined the workforce at a high school.
Yeah,
college.
It's not like now.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, you could quit high school after your freshman year
and
start working. Mm. So, you know, it's not unusual to have these really young workers.
Sure.
So anyway, once she had shot herself... people started reporting lights flickering on and off, doors opening, closing for no reason, chairs moving around for no reason, moans for no reason, footsteps for no reason, you know, somebody touching their shoulder or their hair for no reason. Like they turn around, there's nobody, near them.
Basic ghost stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the ghost of, the Hall of Fame. And the only person who is known to have seen her after it became the Hall of Fame, or is willing to admit that he saw her, like physically saw her after the Hall of Fame, was a little boy who screamed that there was a woman with black hair going in and out of the wall, like she's walking through the wall. And it turns out that that spot was where the bank vault used to be. So it would make sense in the past for someone to be walking
sure
where that door used to be. So I find that
especially
interesting,
especially if you're helping the IRA.
Yeah, so that's the only recorded like on record sighting is a little boy.
And you can't trust children, like we've known this from the past.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Like, when was the last time that was really publicized, I guess?
Probably like 2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not as if it was like...
It's not an annual thing.
Early 2000s, the last time it was being like widely known about.
Okay. Yeah, like for example, nobody really bothered to seriously research who this girl was or talk to any of her coworkers until 2009.
Wow. By that time, Jesus, like everyone's probably dead.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. They talked to two of her coworkers and one of the bank managers. 2009. Yeah, so this is a story that's not...
Definitely not widely known.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How does this match up against, I guess, when people call about the ghost of the forum and the ghost of the gardens and all this other stuff?
Well, this...
Is that more kind of, oh, you know, this is just one of our old guys helping us kind of thing?
You know, there's no... The weirdest thing that I know about Boston Garden is that in 1995, when they were doing the demolition, they found the skeleton of a monkey up in the rafters. And the theory is it was, you know, Ringling Brothers.
Sure.
It escaped. It got up into the rafters. It got confused. It got starved. It died. You know, so that's like the weirdest thing that I've heard about Boston Garden. Oh, that and the, you know, like, the squirrel story
right.
and the rats. I think the other, you know, like ghosts of the forum or ghosts of the garden or whatever are far more metaphorical than anything else.
Than actual apparitions.
Yeah. Nobody's ever reported, you know, walking past Howie Morenz or
apparitions. So I just completely butchered two words.
That's okay. After listening to the broadcast guy on the Black Bears last night, the play by play guy on the
he did a good job. What are you talking? What are you ripping on him for?
Verbs.
Are you still delirious? Because I don't think we watched the same game.
Yeah, no. He had a couple of really odd sentences in there.
It happens.
I was like, you're probably new at this. It's fine. So anyway, yeah. Supposedly.
Allegedly.
There's a reason why they refer to the ghosts of Nationwide Arena in Columbus.
Oh, it's the old penitentiary.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in 1930, there was a fire in the penitentiary. It killed something like 300 plus people. Prisoners. So there's been jokes that it's, you know, possibly haunted as well, just because of the sheer number of people who died
there. The number and the site and
the way they died.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Apparently it was the deadliest prison fire in U.S. history. So, and people, arena workers have actually claimed that they hear like metal doors slamming, but not like locker room metal
doors.
Your
prison,
like
stock sound of the crashing of prison bars.
Yeah. Yeah, they've reported, you know, things like that late at night, or you know, people talking late at night, or, you know, whatever.
Sure.
But that's the thing with an arena, you can say something in corner A and someone in hallway F could hear it.
Right, exactly.
It's just how
sound,
they're built.
Sound carries with the acoustics and such.
Yeah.
So that was a spooky story. What about any other fun Halloween-y things? Since it is the season.
Well, I saw Chris Mason dressed as a purple Teletubby.
It's weird.
You know, for as long as I've been doing this, I've noticed that Halloween parties have gotten to be more and more crazy, like team parties.
I think that can go across the board, like, for Halloween.
I don't know if it's just like an age thing or whatever, but like all of my friends go to Halloween parties and they're just like, yeah, it was a party, it was whatever, mm-hmm. you know. But you look at these NHL Halloween parties, and it's like, we have a hypnotist, and, you know, oh, look, there's Good Charlotte on stage. And we brought in movie FX specialists to paint our faces and paint our kids' faces, and, you know, like, just
sure,
like circusy.
It's good to have money.
Yeah, yeah. That's
we didn't win the Powerball or Mega Million, so we're screwed.
A Halloween related trivia fact for you.
Okay, Halloween-related trivia fact. And go.
The first painted fiberglass goalie mask.
Fully painted?
Fully painted.
Okay. That's a good visual for a podcast.
Yeah. I do this for your benefit, but yeah. Okay, you know who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. That's why you tell the people. But tell the people at home.
Doug Favell had that bright orange mask,
mm-hmm.
and the reason why he had this bright orange mask wasn't just because he played for the Flyers. It was because his friends / teammates thought, wouldn't it be hilarious, it's almost Halloween, he wears orange, what if we painted his face mask orange and made him look like a pumpkin? So they painted his mask orange and he was really mad about it, like, he was,
yeah, I bet,
not pleased. But the problem was, he didn't have a backup mask. Now, I don't know if that meant he didn't have one literally, or he didn't have one broken in that he was willing to wear.
At that time, I would think literally. Because at that time, you don't have goalies with very few goalies had multiple masks, I should say.
That's what I assume, but I didn't know.
Right, you can't. I'm assuming that it's just that he only had one mask.
Yeah, because I don't know, maybe they have one that they're breaking in while they have one that they wear.
Some guys do that.
I don't know. So anyway, the point is, he didn't have a backup mask, and so he ended up wearing this bright orange mask during the game. And so the very first fully painted fiberglass mask started the trend of painted masks. It was all because of a Halloween prank. So there you go.
Not the scariest mask, though.
No, definitely not. There's an apocryphal story. And if you don't know what apocryphal means, it means unconfirmed.
Thank you. The viewers at home appreciate that.
I get lectured every once in a while, like, I don't know what that word means. I'm like, oh, sorry.
I was going to throw this water in your face. I don't have water either.
Robin Lehner.
Mm-hmm.
In, like, when he first came over, didn't really understand Halloween, what it was, how it worked. So he's just chilling at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, these kids start ringing his doorbell, and they're in costumes. And they're asking, they're like, trick or treat. And he's like, what the hell? So he just started handing out, like, handfuls of Skittles. Like, loose handfuls of Skittles. I would love for this story to be true. Like, somebody please...
Mm-hmm.
You know, tell me that this story is true, because it's fantastic. So my question there is, how many Skittles, like, did he have like a 9-pound bag of Skittles at home?
My question is, why isn't anybody like billeting him? Like, why is he not staying at like someone's house? Like, why isn't like Alfredson like not stepping up, or somebody like
right,
that?
Right.
Like, someone to adjust him to this.
Yeah.
Like, or at least give him a heads up about, hey, didn't the team have like a Halloween party too? It's like, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
Although at that point, I think he's probably in Binghamton, but still.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like,
well, it could have been the Halloween party was like after Halloween. So like if Halloween was on a Tuesday that year, then they had the party on Friday or something. But yeah, yeah. It's
weird.
One of my favorite like unconfirmed stories. Sure.
Yeah.
He's like, here you go, kids, here's a handful of Skittles. Like,
how is he just like, huh? is this right? What am I doing?
Yeah.
It's like looking around, trying to look for a camera, see if it's like hidden video.
Yeah.
Scariest mask you've seen?
I don't know. None of them really scare me. Like the ones that people think are scary, like Skordinsky's. Or not Skordinsky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what with the was kind of the mask Indian head?
Yeah. The bones.
No.
Bromley.
Yeah, Gary Bromley.
Well, there was Bromley, and then there was someone else. And I want to say his name was something like Score. Like it sounded like Score Against Me, but that wasn't his name.
Yeah,
that was his nickname.
Warren Skrudinsky.
Skrudinsky, yeah.
Yeah. He had the Indian, it looked like, the paint was like the Indian head of the Blackhawks logo, but it was like a mask kind of portion of it.
Yeah.
Jules Grattan, the big tiger face.
Yeah. None of those bother me. I actually dig the paint on bones because the quality.
Sure.
You know, like I dig that. It cracks me up that what's his name? Not Theodore. He puts Flanders on his masks.
Budai.
Had no idea who Flanders was, but he put zombie Flanders on his mask.
Well, yeah. No, yeah, they already called him Ned Flanders, and he just put it on there like he didn't know what the...
Yeah, like they put Flanders on his mask, and then he didn't know, and then it just became this thing, and so then he had like zombie Flanders on his mask at one point.
Sure, why not?
The only one I think that really, truly creeped me out was the eyes. I think it was Carey Price's mask, where it was like... supposed to be like the Jacques Plante tribute where it was all like
that was for flesh. The Heritage Classic in 2011.
Yeah, and then it just had like the two random eyes on. I was just like, what the hell is it? Like, and then he puts the lotion on its skin.
Sure. And then he wore it for like all the 75,000 Heritage games they had during their 100th year.
Yeah.
So
I was like, I never want to see this mask again.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's fun.
Yeah. What about you?
Not scary as it is innovative. The Cujo mask. The Cujo mask was fun.
Yeah.
The big sick dog. Everyone says that everyone puts Curry Hirsch's psycho mask up there.
I love that mask.
That's a fun mask.
Yeah.
Because like as a kid when that came out, I just didn't know the story behind it. And then it's like, oh, okay, that's pretty fun. Not many masks these days that have.
No, they're kind
any
of
kind
boring.
Of, yeah. Nabokov had a cool mask with the skull and then throwing other skulls or some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Who's they used to have like goblins on his mask? Turek used to have Eddie.
Yeah, from Megadeth.
Yeah.
The gargoyles was. Theodore had gargoyles on his thing, and I think Turco
was
had.
It? Gargoyles? Was it Turco or was it Defoe or is it?
No, because Defoe's masks were very team oriented. I know Theodore on each side of his head, he had the gargoyles.
Mm.
And I want to say Turco had it on the side of the mask too, but I'm not certain.
I want somebody to have a Street Sharks mask. Just for the sheer, like, what the hell of it.
It's Jawsome.
Yeah, exactly.
So, who knows? One of these millennials will do it. Street Sharp was supposed to get a reboot, so.
Well, Clueless is getting a reboot, so.
Dumb. Don't do it.
You know.
The TV show was bad enough on UPN after the movie. We don't need a second movie. The first movie was perfect.
Somebody pointed out that every decade has, like, every generation has its movie. Like, Breakfast Club was the 80s generation movie, Clueless was the 90s generation movie. You know, I can sort of see that argument, but I can also see it far better in terms of, you know, this was a quintessential 90s movie, leave it alone.
I would say
this was a quintessential 60s movie, leave it alone. You know?
So you didn't like Vince Vaughn's Psycho?
No. I hated that. Okay, you know what? Somebody asked me if I've ever walked out of a movie, and I said no. That's a lie. I actually walked out I watched most of the movie, but I actually walked out towards the end of the Vince Vaughn Psycho.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
I never walked out of a movie because I rarely go to movies.
Yeah, like you don't go to movies, so.
Yeah. The only time I saw someone got pulled out of a movie when we were kids, kid Greg, who went to school with, like, after it was a Friday, we had a half day on Fridays because Catholic schools. And we were watching Beavis and Butthead do America. So we're like in fifth, sixth grade.
Mm-hmm. The perfect age for it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's like 90. Probably older, but whatever. The point is this. We go to the movie theater, and then like halfway through the movie, his mama, nice out. His mama comes in the theater, finds him, and pulls him out by his ear.
Nice. I was going to say, Jesus. You don't add by the ear yeah. here.
It's like, Jesus, this is 96. How is this happening? Poor Greg. All right. So,
well, one of these days we'll have to talk about the Mighty Ducks movies.
Sure.
As a podcast.
Absolutely. We'll do that as an extra show if you want it. We'll get Johnny in here one of these days. We'll set something up.
Final topic.
Mm-hmm.
John Ziegler Jr. died.
Well, let's hold that thought for a second.
Okay.
And then bring it in here. So John Ziegler Jr. died, the last president of the NHL.
Yes.
Before we had a commissioner. The greatest commissioner. Commissioner for life. My commissioner. All respect to my commissioner, Gary Bettman. But a lot of people give Gary Bettman flack for all the Sun Belt stuff. How's Ziegler doing?
It was.
It's all Ziegler, because that stuff happened way before Bettman was...
Well, and they give Bettman flack for the TV deals.
Mm-hmm.
Those were continuations of Ziegler deals.
I don't know. This deal they have now is pretty much all on Bettman.
No, this one. This one absolutely is. Yeah. But the ones before.
Sure. Like the ESPN. And
yeah, those were a continuation of the Ziegler business growth plan.
So Ziegler came after Gil Stein, right?
No.
Who came after Gil Stein?
Oh, wait. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Gil Stein put himself in the Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. and then John Ziegler took over.
Mm-hmm.
What benefit? I mean, people blame the Sun Belt. We can kind of give credit to Ziegler and the Sun Belt on this, can we not?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Because if you look at his tenure, he was there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
77 to 94.
That's a run.
And if you think about it, that there are some seismic changes in the league.
The league doubles. Pretty much when he's around.
Yeah, because you get the merger,
mm-hmm.
and then you get the first expansions, Tampa Bay,
mm-hmm.
and then you get the second expansion with the Ducks. Oh, no.
Yep, yeah, Ducks and Sens.
Ducks and Sens. And then you get the third expansion.
Was he part of the Predators expansion?
No, he was part of setting it up.
Okay.
Like, this was his blueprint. Mm-hmm. Like, he had a blueprint for how
across
this was going to go.
Sure.
Yeah. And then he was part of the major TV deals,
mm-hmm.
A part of the infamous replacement jerseys, replacement referees.
Oh, yes. With the Officials Association debacle.
Yeah, yeah. He was... I don't, you know, he was a tough guy. He was smart and he worked hard, but he was kind of a puzzle of a guy too at the same time.
Very Mad Hatter-esque.
He was very disciplined. He expected mm-hmm. everyone else to be very, you know.
It's almost like a Kennesaw Mountain Landis of the old time base.
Yeah.
Like a throwback president in the modern day.
Yeah, and so he was trying to wrangle the Board of Governors just as much as they were trying to wrangle him.
Mm-hmm.
They let him go because they didn't like how he handled the player strike in
92.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then that would be Gary Bettman came in 93.
Yeah.
And Ziegler still was think there for a year after, if not...
94.
94, yeah. So a year after.
Yeah. Yeah, so they let him go because they didn't like how he handled the player strike. But the other things that happened under Ziegler was the number of European-born players
mm-hmm.
just shot up. Salaries started to go up. This is when salaries were actually starting to be published,
mm-hmm.
was during his tenure.
Free agency became a big thing.
Free agency became a thing.
More to your point about Europeans, the wall to Russia.
Yeah.
The pipeline to Russia when you had NHL teams go over there and play the Russian Super League teams.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that was a big deal, too. And it got a lot of talent in there in the early 90s with the, the Russian Five.
And he started starting a blueprint for, I guess, with what Bettman's trying to do now with, like, China and overseas games. He's the one who started that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really, like, you know, the Caps.
Mm-hmm.
And the, was it the Flames, I think? The first,
don't remember, Sweden?
The first teams to go to Russia.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, the Caps and Flames.
Caps and
but
Flames.
But before that, they went over to Sweden and Finland. And even in the mid-70s, the Caps went to Japan with the Scouts.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but yeah, no, the Flames and the Caps were the first ones to play games over there against Russian teams.
Mm-hmm. So you have this whole international footprint really being set up and pushed by Ziegler as well. So, yeah.
There you go. We had some hockey weekends. I had hockey weekends.
I had some, you know, extreme.
You had hockey game, and then I can't get down a hallway without catching my breath. I'm like, okay. And then, so they played Minnesota last night in Vegas. We didn't go because we chose to go to Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
So I said this is a big upset.
Mm-hmm.
From UND, who was going to this game, a game under 500 early in the season. Someone's like, oh, you can't have a big upset in October.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can. You absolutely can.
Especially when it comes to UND and Minnesota.
Yeah, you can have an absolute big upset because this is a non-conference game. You lose this game, that could determine your tournament, right? Last year's edition of the North Dakota Fighting Seagulls.
Fighting Postal Service.
Right. So, but yeah, and they're back, and it's Wisconsin's in town. We'll get to see Sassy Badger.
Yay!
I don't think he's coming, but he'll be there in spirit.
You know, it's kind of funny because mascots used to travel with the teams.
Yeah.
In college.
Makes sense.
I've seen some weird pictures from, like, the 70s and the 60s, and I'm like, am I on drugs?
When the Stanford Cardinal tree got into a fight with the UCLA Bruin at a basketball game. I think they like stopped that too. Like that, we can't have violence amongst mascots. We're supposed to be kids. I only see the mascot at the football. I haven't seen the mascot. I didn't see the mascot all last weekend at the game.
Mm.
So, anything else we have to talk about? Well, good.
Jason's leaving.
Oh yeah, speaking of North Dakota. Jason Haju,
SID,
so the sports information director and the director of hockey and track, and I think women's
basketball.
Yeah,
might be soccer too.
Him or Mitch?
Yeah,
he's leaving. Don't know when. He could be gone now. His office could be a barren wasteland. So we don't know who the hell is going to be the hockey guy, and so we have to suck up to him now.
Jason leaves his door open during the day, so I'm tempted to just go in there and mess with him.
Sure.
And just like take some of his stuff and hide it.
His door was closed when I went to see him after we got back from Maryland.
Oh yeah.
I think he was working on press notes because the season was that weekend. So. But yeah, no, that's sad. He's a good dude.
Yeah.
Going to Kansas City.
Yep.
So that's cool. His wife, who works there at UND too, also got a job, probably a much bigger promotion.
Mm-hmm. Much better pay.
Yeah. So
happier atmosphere.
Exactly. He'll be leaving North Dakota for a little bit warmer climate, but more tornadoes. So,
which is weird because he's from Saskatchewan.
Sahuvian.
Yeah.
So we'll have to suck up the new AD to get press credentials. So.
Yeah. Have Jason write us a reference letter.
Right. Exactly. Listen, these guys are fine. All right. Some cards. And, well, right off the bat, Wisconsin's head coach. Tony Granato.
Taking college classes with the students.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. I don't know if he's graduated. I want to say he did, like, last spring. Mm. But he was taking college courses right along with his players and other college kids and everything.
Hmm. Didn't he have, like, brain cancer? Or... You sure?
I can look.
He had something that he took off a while. I want to think that he had some kind of cancer or sickness.
Tony Granato, who used to play for the Rangers.
Sharks. Kings.
Brother of Cammy.
Cammy. the more successful Granato. I would venture to guess.
Oh, Cammy's way more successful than Tony. Like, that's not even a question.
Right?
No.
What the hell did he have that he was gone for like a year?
I don't know.
What the hell? Anyway. Alex McGillney.
Alex McGillney. So he had a fear of flying.
Weird for a guy who wanted to defect.
Yeah. Well, apparently it wasn't really a thing until he was in Buffalo, and then I think he just ended up with like a rough landing or something. And so then he basically refused to fly when he could. So if Buffalo was playing like the Rangers, the Islanders, the Nordiques, the Habs, the, you know, like regionally speaking, he would not fly with the team.
Hmm.
He would drive with a friend.
Okay.
And eventually the team went, you know what? No.
No, you can't have this.
We're not doing this anymore.
We'll Xanax you up.
Okay, we're going to pay for you to see a therapist, and this is going to be a non-issue. Mm-hmm. So.
I can understand Russian flights, probably not the best.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
By the way, he had bleeding on the brain. That's why he was out for a while. I knew it was a head issue. He had bleeding on the brain, on the left lobe of his brain, and couldn't complete the rest of the 96-97 season, then returned with the Sharks. He wore a specially padded helmet as a precautionary measure. So.
That's not really going to help you.
No.
Because that's like driving on a weak tire.
Mm-hmm. It's only going to hold up for so long.
Yeah.
I knew he was something. Rob Brown.
Nah, nothing special.
Chris Chelios. He's a surfer.
Thief.
And a thief. And he throws couches out the window.
Yes. No, there are stories of Chelios like seeing his childhood idol's jersey in the like wash bin, because you know how the locker rooms have those big like wash bins.
Sure.
And he would just like yoink it out of the bin and leave with it.
Nice. One of the greatest players in NHL 94 history, Cliff Ronning.
Didn't he? I want to say he attended a UND.
No. Played in the WHL.
Who am I thinking of?
I don't know who you're thinking of.
Go.
Are you thinking of Chief? Gino Olczyk? Probably not. I think he played in the dub, too.
No.
Anyway, Kevin Lowe.
Kevin Lowe. So he played, and he knew he wasn't a good player, but he was in awe of being a player on this the teams he was on.
Mm-hmm.
with the Oilers, you know. But he couldn't let, like, he's like, okay, I'm not a good player, so I'm just going to become a manager. Mm. Like, literally, that's how he made the choice.
Sure.
He didn't go, hey, I remember when my dad coached my team and it looked like fun. He didn't say, you know what, I'm going to go coach in the WHL or anything. He's like, you know what, I've been surrounded by greatness for so long that I'm just going to become a coach and GM myself.
There you go. Perfect. Why wouldn't you?
And so, you know, Oilers
that's
fans.
The mess that they're in there now.
Yeah.
Joey Mullen.
Joey Mullen. Joey has a brother, right?
Yep, Brian.
Brian, yes. Okay, so they lived in Hell's Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
In a tenement. Which, if you know what a tenement is, they're not great apartment buildings.
Mm-hmm.
So one night, they are home. And the wall of the tenement just collapses. Like, the outer wall just goes and collapses. And they spent all night with their family, helping their family and helping their friends' families try to, like, dig out and retrieve belongings and all of these things because the wall collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to make sure that they're all safe and that they all have their belongings and nobody's, you know, trying to steal from anybody else or whatever. Sun comes up. They get an hour or two of sleep, and then they go to a hockey tournament.
Mm. There you go. Way to be. Mm. Brian Lawton.
I don't think anybody has anything nice to say about him. Mm. No, that's not true. That's
first American-born player to select in the NHL.
Yes. High school, too, right?
Yeah. No. First high school player, yes, to come out of the U.S.
Yeah.
Well... Picked first overall.
Picked first overall, yeah.
Because Bobby Carpenter was the first guy right out of high school.
To play right out of high school. Yeah. Now, Brian Lawton is a large pile of could have been.
Mm-hmm. He's Jersey. He's a New Jersey boy, so that's probably why. Or number 98. Because it was just that below Gretzky.
Yeah. I'm sure that his friends and family and, you know, I'm sure that he's a nice person, but his career as a player and as a
GM. And as a broadcaster.
And as a broadcaster. Is a whole pile of could have been.
I pre-say that as an agent, too. Everything he has was fake. Glenn Anderson.
He once accidentally hit, I want to say, Doug Waite with his car.
Sounds about right. Joseph Berenick.
I don't remember anything too interesting about him.
Claude Lemieux.
Hmm?
Claude Lemieux.
Scotty Bowman lost his shit at Claude Lemieux and started screaming at him, like, in a McDonald's parking lot. It was quite the moment. So... But he was actually on the down low, a super, super nice guy.
Oh, I'm sure. Like, all those enforcer thugs are like a heart of gold kind of people.
Yeah. So like when Columbine happened, he very quietly like arranged for the families to get meal services or cleaning services or, you know, one house, I think he helped build like a wheelchair ramp. Mm. And he didn't ever tell anybody like... what he was doing.
Hmm. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
David Malley was the last one. I'm pretty sure you don't have anything on him.
No.
I barely knew he was a player. It wasn't if he didn't have a card. I wouldn't know it. Alexei Kasatanov.
Oh, the story is about him. So... So he... sorry, you were looking at... Looking funny. All right. So he was one of the Russian players on the same team as the Russian Five, except he was considered to be one of the coach's boys. And so he was considered like a spy for not only the Russian coach Tikhonov, but for Russia, basically, like the Soviet Union. Like they considered him a spy, a rat. So when he arrived in New Jersey, what's his name? Wouldn't talk to him.
Danico?
No. Fedorov. Not Fedorov. They just did the documentary on him.
Larionov?
No. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
You all know who I'm talking about.
No, we don't. Kasatanov and...
All right, let's see if I can get my name straight here, shall we? So we have, it was one of the Russian Five. It was Fedorov, Kozlov, Konstantinov, Larionov. Is it Fetisov?
Yeah, Fetisov would have been...
Yep.
The devil's guy.
Yep. So Fetisov wouldn't talk to him at all. Mm. Ever.
Interesting.
Because he had so many bad feelings towards...
from the past?
Yeah.
Mm. All right. Ken Sutton?
No.
Mike Keane.
Father Jackson Keane.
Yep. Darren Kimball?
No.
Luke Richardson?
Luke Richardson's a little bit of a prankster. Yeah. But nothing I can tell you that's really special.
Christian Rutu.
In my head, he's the only good Rutu. Because the other Rutus are like stomping on other players' legs. And they're like the dirty player Rutus.
Sure. I think he was also traded for the same person twice. I think he was traded for what's his name twice.
Berger?
Yeah.
No, I think you're right. That was a heck of a trade circle.
Sure. Murray Craven.
No.
Scott Lachance. JJ Daniel.
Something I can't remember.
Valerie Kaminsky.
Oh.
Benoit Hoeg.
I see that name so often. I'm like, who are you? Like, he's just mentioned. He's never, ever...
He was a hell of a player for the Islanders.
Yeah.
Those years he was there. Finally, Stu Barnes.
Whenever I mention Stu on Twitter, people get very, very, very excited. They still love him.
He's a lovable chap.
He very much is.
All right. So we've done it. Where can people find you?
NHL History Girl.
Find me at Scotty Waz. Find the show at SDR Strong Bubble. Find the Facebook at FOHS or Facebook.com/FOHS Radio. Hopefully we'll be back to weeklies. We'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
And go from there. But that's about it. For Jen, I'm Scott. Take care of yourself and someone else. This has been the Soderstrom Bubble in the Face Off Hockey Show Media Faction. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.